Okay, I'm milling about with Michelle Danner, and she is the director of the film The Runner. She's also an acting coach. Her father started the William Morris Agency. Should I go on?
Yes, my dad was the very first the president who started the William Morris Agency in 1964 in Paris, in France. And so I have fond memories of going to the office and playing under the desk when all these big celebrities would come in.
Was that sort of your introduction to showbiz, so to speak, would you say?
Well, probably, apparently, I was told that when he would bring the agents from the William Morris back to the house for dinner, that I would tap dance on the table and I would do Alfred Hitchcock and imitations and Ed Sullivan and Judy Garland. So I guess I was born into it, yes.
So, what got you involved in directing? What was your sort of feature film debut?
Well, I think that I had so much passion for theater, for storytelling. I started to teach acting in the 90s, and I was just fascinated with telling stories and just really fell in love with the medium of film and how you could really paint the painting that you wanted to and then have people come and see it. That was to this moment, I'm actually editing another feature as we speak, that I shot this summer on the East Coast.
Yes, I was actually invited to that set, but unfortunately couldn't make it.
It was great. We had a wonderful experience shooting a movie called Miranda's Victim,
You had quite the cast.
and I'm in the throes of it because we're locking a cut. So it's intense. You just work around the clock. And so either, when you're making movies, you're either conceptualizing it, preparing, prepping it, developing it, shooting it, and then, everything that happens after you shoot it, how you put it together. So every phase has its own intensity.
So, Michelle, when you're on set and you're working with actors, do you have to try and stop yourself from not coaching them?
I mean, for instance, in this last incredible movie with this fabulous cast, what I really found is that actors that are, have been around for a very long time, they want feedback. They want to be able to talk about the character. They want to be able to analyze the moments. They want to be able to play, to explore, to take risks. And so, yes, there's a very huge distinction between me coaching an actor, teaching a class, and being on set and giving feedback to an actor on a particular scene. But I do find that actors, however, experienced they are, whoever I've worked with legends recently, really want a third eye. They want to know if, it's going in the right direction.
So, who is the legend that you worked with recently?
Well, I would say Donald Sutherland.
He's up there.
He's up there. I certainly think that Andy Garcia is legendary.
Love him.
And Kyle MacLachlan as well.
Kyle MacLachlan. I'm actually watching Confess Fletch, which he's in.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful actors, but and I think that Little Miss Sunshine's performance, Abigail Breslin, is also in a way legendary that will always be in our consciousness of such a wonderful performance. She's such a great actress, and I had a slew. Her mom is played by an extraordinary talented actress called Mireille Inos, who. And the list goes on and on. I really, it's hard for me to talk about some actors and not talk about the others because it was such a huge ensemble. Enrique Morciano, a student of mine years and years ago when I first started to teach my acting classes, played a detective Cooley with such, passion and commitment. And the actor Bren Sexton, who was with Mireille Enos in that show, The Killing, which I particularly loved. I don't know if you had a chance to see that. And Ryan Felipe and Luke Wilson, you know, spar and give also, you know, some great performances. Nolan Gold from Modern Family, Taryn Manning, a favorite of mine, from Orange is the New Black.
Don't you feel like she's very underrated? Like she should be a bigger star. I mean, I know she was fabulous in Orange is the New Black, but she should be a movie star.
Yes, I think there's a humility about her. She is. She's, I mean, the camera loves her. And we just, you know, I had nothing but a great experience working with her. She's really, really wonderful. And there's two other actors that are married. There are a couple, Emily Van Camp and Joshua Bowman, who also, you know, just came and graced, you know, us with their presence on screen and are absolutely incredible to watch. So, you know, it was just great. And, you know, what can I say? You know, I'm still processing the fact that I had the chance to work with such an incredible cast.
And also you had wonderful opportunity to work with Paul Sorvino, bless him. What a great man, great actor. So talk about your memories of him.
Yeah, I did the two movies with him. And I also did a theater event, a staged reading where he played Norman Mailer. He was really wonderful to work with. I particularly loved the scene. He was in a family movie I directed called Bandit Hound with Jim O'Hare. And he did an improvisational scene with him that was quite great. And then he played a pivotal character in another psychological thriller I directed called Bad Impulse. And he was just really wonderful. He cared so much about his work. He gave me extra time for free. Kim, I'm going to give you extra days. I want to come. I want to be there. I want to help. He was generous.
And gracious.
Yes, and really said the character in Bad Impulse. He said, I knew exactly when you sent it to me how to play that. I knew exactly how I was going to do that. I'm very, very happy that in this lifetime I had the chance to collaborate with him on these two movies. Yeah, we talked about doing more. But of course, we know time passes, and then COVID happened. And then sadly, he passed. But his work, his spirit, his generosity is always going to be with us. That's what you leave behind, you know, all those memories, all that work, the legacy.
Yes, absolutely. And he could sing. He had some operatic, beautiful voice.
Absolutely. He sang for us on set many times, and we laughed. And, you know, yes, he has a beautiful voice.
Oh, that's great. So now in The Runner, there's a wonderful actor that you worked with, and I won't even say his last name, Edouard.
Filippona.
Thank you. He was brilliant. I mean, I'd never seen him before. I heard he lost a ton of weight for the role. So talk about working with him.
Yes, he was in my class, and I was developing the script. I had come up with a story, and I got this wonderful writer, John Buffalo Mail. I mean, he's also a wonderful writer. Jason Chase Terrell to write the screenplay.
I love John Buffalo Mailer, by the way.
Yes, good friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he's in this movie, Miranda's Victim. He gives quite a great performance as well.
Oh, tell him I say hi. I love him.
I will. I'm directing right now this show with Ann Archer, who plays his mother in the memoir.
Cool.
Yes, now John is great. But anyway, he's a great writer. And so this Jason Chase Terrell, who wrote The Runner. And Edouard was in my class performing a scene. I thought he was brilliant. He gave me chills. And I sent him the script and we started to work on it. He was very devoted to it, lost lots of weight for it and maintained it throughout our prep and the course of the shoot. He was so disciplined. And I've seen him recently, a few weeks ago, we had lunch and he gained the weight back. I mean, he looks good now. He's at normal weight. And we had a great conversation. And this movie will stay a great memory for us.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So was it his choice to lose the weight or was that something that you asked him to do?
Well, the script described the character because the character was doing, you know, some opiates, some drugs, as a thin character. And so he took that description and he really wanted to make it his own.
Yeah. And I was watching, recognized immediately, cannot believe how much he looks like his grandpa.
Yes, Cameron Douglas. He does. He looks like Kirk Douglas, and he also looks like his dad. Yeah, and he gives a great performance, very nuanced as a detective, not what you would expect. And that's what's so interesting about watching him in The Runner. And Edouard Philippe now gives a performance that has launched his career.
So how does that make you feel? I mean, he was in your class. You kind of maybe discovered him in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I certainly think after how many years of teaching, I've lost count because now it'll age me considerably. But I pride myself to know, although you never know, someone can be extraordinarily talented in your class and then they go on and do other things with their lives that make them happy. Other people have talent. Stella Adler, I always remember, used to say, you have to have the talent for the talent, which means the work ethic. It means the desire, the discipline to pursue it on a higher level, to challenge yourself, to go past the comfortable. And so that creates some great artists in our world. No, I think Edouard has that.
Yeah, definitely. Can you give me some examples of actors that you've worked with where you felt this person has it and they're going to be a big star? Because I've done that with people I've interviewed,
Well, that's a great question. Salma Hayek, when I worked with Salma Hayek, I thought there was something about her glow and her presence and her concentration that made me feel she could be a big star, and she did become that. James Franco had the same effect on me. I really felt that he could do some great things, and he has. I've worked with a lot of people where I felt it's an energy thing, and you can tell it's basically wanting to give it their all, the willingness to give it their all.
And have you ever had the heart to say, I'm sorry, but you just don't have it?
No, because I've mostly worked with very talented people, but I think it goes a step beyond that. It's not so much that you're talented, because let's face it, a lot of people are talented. It's more than that. More goes into it than just talent. So if talent was enough, there's a great saying, not that it parallels what I'm saying, but I remember Stella Adler used to say, if crying were a talent, my Aunt Bertha would be a star. If just the ability to get emotional, and there's so many other components that go into it. But talent, certainly you have to have it. But a lot of people have talent. I don't think that that's the end all be of everything. There's many other things.
Yeah, I've always said that actors have to want to act, and they have to need it more than anything else.
Correct. That's right. There's really a passion that drives you to achieve whatever you're going to achieve, because it's also hard. There's obstacles, and you have to be able to overcome the obstacles. You have to be able to let, I know some fabulous actors that are at home not working because they don't want to feel the rejection. They don't want to feel the pain of somebody saying no to them. And so you opt to not take the risk.
Yeah.
But I remember Al Pacino said somewhere that, that always stayed with me, that it's a risk to not take a risk. And I've always loved that. I always loved that idea, and I believe in it.
Yeah, that's great. Did you ever want to be an actor? Was that ever in your purview at all?
Yes, well, I do act as well. Of course, I took many acting classes. I studied with Stella Adler, I studied with Uta Hagen. I studied some wonderful teachers, and I've done a few films, and I do, I do act. I've done many plays, and so I love expressing myself emotionally in that way.
Do you put yourself in all your films? Because I notice you're I think you're in the liquor store.
Not all my films, no. But some of them, very little cameos, like little parts, just for the fun of it.
Yeah, so tell me about some of those little cameos that you've done in your films.
Well,
you're,
in
like,
the
it,
runner,
you're like Hitchcock.
In The Runner, I'm the, yeah, exactly. I'm the clerk. I'm the convenience store. You know, he comes to buy booze. And I contribute to, thematically, one of the themes the movie's about is how grown-ups fail their children. How kids fall through the cracks. So here you have a clerk of a convenience store that is looking the other way and selling a lot of booze to a teenager. So I played that villain.
And you have cameos in other films that you can remember?
Let me see. Oh yeah, I played this disgruntled. I played a couple of villains. I usually don't play the villain, so I like to give myself a couple of villain cameos. This disgruntled mother in The Bandit Hound, this movie that I did with kids and dogs, where I come to the door and Catherine Bell is in the scene, wonderful Catherine Bell. And I complain to her. I'm the next door neighbor complaining.
I love it. I love it. So talk to me about the Creative Center for the Arts. What is that exactly, and how did you start that?
I started it because I, again, I'm so passionate about the arts, and I love for everything to be under one roof. And we have an acting school, the Los Angeles Acting Conservatory, the Michelle Denner Acting Studio. We have a vibrant community of young actors that are pursuing, you know, putting together their craft. I teach a class, a master class all over the world called The Golden Box. And so to give them access to making movies so they can enter it in a film festival, to be part of a theater company and, you know, do plays. Of course, with COVID these last few years, we have slowed down a little bit, but things now are starting back up again. We're learning to live with COVID. And so, you know, this idea of the arts being under one roof and us, you know, drawing from every medium, I think is important for artists and important for audience to come watch process. I find that, you know, when an audience goes to see a movie, you know, it's very result oriented. They see the final product. When you come to see theater, they see the final product. But it's also very interesting to invite audience to see the reading of a play or test screenings of a movie, things that are in process, and give their feedback. I mean, people really love that because they want to understand how it comes together. When we have done like art gallery openings, you know, one of the things that I feel has drawn people to have this conversation is the process of the artists. How do you get to that place?
Yeah, so it's really sort of like a fly on the wall kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. There's a curiosity about how you get there. How do you create?
In a way, though, do you find audiences know too much?
What do you mean by that?
Do they know too much of like the secrets? Is that sort of spoiling it a little bit? Like we want to know everything we can possibly know about behind the scenes, and we're fascinated by that.
Isn't that the society? Yeah, well, that's the society that we're in right now, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know everything, and everybody reveals everything, and everybody wants to know what you ate for lunch and dinner and what you're going to eat tomorrow. And, you know, yeah.
So of all the disciplines that you do, what's your most favorite?
You know, I love them all. I really do. I love the medium of film. I love theater. I'm an aficionado of theater for sure. Every chance I get. I was in New York right after I finished filming Miranda's Victim. Literally 2 days later, I was sitting in a Broadway theater watching Billy Crystal in Mr.
Oh,
Saturday
wasn't that
Night.
Fun?
It was great. And then the day after, I saw the closing performance of American Buffalo with Sam Rockwell and with Larry Fishburne and with, I'm blanking on the other actor, he's a wonderful actor. But anyway, and then Neil Pepe, the director, came on stage, and Lawrence Fishburne on the way out said, "Thank you for contributing to the American theater." And I thought to myself, you know, here we are calling cut for the last time on a set, and here experiencing this beautiful moment in the theater. I am very excited about all mediums.
Oh, that's so great. So how would you describe your coaching technique?
People have told me that I go very deep, that it's complex. And the script analysis is, I'm very specific about script analysis. I'm interested in digging into who makes someone do what. So character work is, I like to pursue the different dimensions of who someone is. I really break down things. I think the most you can prepare and you can make choices, the better the work is, the more you can let go, and the more you can improvise, and the more you can be free, which is what every actor longs for.
Right. They want to sort of disappear into the role.
Yeah, they want to really take it on. They want to feel the flame, go through them. It's the inner life, really, that you're after.
Is there a theme that sort of runs through the projects that you want to direct?
I think so, really. They say directors direct the same thing over and over again. And for me, I think I'm very drawn to something that, has to do with our kids. When our kids don't get protected, when our kids fall through the cracks, that really makes me want to tell those stories.
So is Miranda's victim have that through line?
You could say it has that component, absolutely. It has that component. It's like, we don't. Yeah, I mean, I could get specific about it, but yeah, when our, and yet stuff happens, life happens. You can't protect your kids from everything, obviously. If not, you just, put them in a box and that would be abuse. So you have to let them go. But within that, I think you have to give them the tools to protect themselves because very clearly you can't always be there to protect them.
Absolutely. So in closing, what do you think is the most rewarding aspect of what you do?
Oh, I think about it every day because I think that when you're born with wanting to be creative, then you just have to find a way to do it. And it's okay, some things work and some things don't work and it doesn't matter, as long as you pursue that, that light and, pursue your passion, pursue the thing. I mean, you hear it all the time said in so many different ways by so many different people relating to, work. But I feel very, very grateful that I get the chance to be creative.
Absolutely. Michelle Danner, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
My pleasure. And look forward to the next couple of films that you've got coming out. You'll have to come back.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
Sure. Bye. Take care.
Initiate. Go, go, go.
Always new.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.